If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And it came about soon afterwards that Jesus began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Chuzes, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to the support out of their private means. And when a great multitude was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, Jesus spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seeds, and he sowed. Some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because there was no moisture. And other seeds fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seeds fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great. As Jesus said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. Jesus said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those who are beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seeds in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just enlighten our hearts this morning. Father, help us to have an open heart to this parable and the direction that you have given to us under it, and we might be able to recognize that we have a great hope in Christ, but that it is also a narrow way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And I pray, Father, that we would really contemplate what our nature is, to understand where we stand before you, and we would truly have a glimpse of who you are and who we are in your presence. Thank you, Father, for this chance to join together, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we are continuing to explore Jesus' ministry while he was on this earth. This morning we start into this group of things that we're going to see from now on, these things called parables. So Jesus, when he taught quite frequently with stories that would help emphasize his points, or at least help those who were seeking to understand these points. And so we're going to see this time and again. And our parable this morning is a good one for beginnings, because this is the beginning of a new year. So this one shows us exactly how we may measure where we stand with God. Because there's all kinds of theories out there about God. There's all kinds of different gods that people worship, all kinds of ways that people worship God. But clearly, God has a way that He wishes us to worship Him, that He delights in. He has a people that He has chosen, and He wants us who are chosen to be very sure of our foundation. And for those who have not yet believed, He wants them to recognize that, hey, wait a minute, I'm falling short of what the Scripture is talking about when we're talking about saving faith. So that's where we're at this morning, that we have this kind of a definition of saving faith and the other things that people see and do out there concerning their relationship with God. So here we go, verse 1. Came about soon afterwards that Jesus began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him. Also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna and Susanna and many others who were contributing their support out of their private means. So as we have talked many times, Jesus has kind of a twofold function, so to speak, in His earthly ministry. We know the primary mission of the Lord Jesus Christ is for Him to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins, so that we might have life. That's the primary purpose of the advent of God on this earth, to provide what we cannot provide for ourselves. His secondary purpose, though, is essentially the same, even though on a higher level as John the Baptist, is that He has come to prepare us and to prepare the way for people to understand what God's kingdom really means, what God wanted for a people, and the idea that we have an opportunity to join with God in His kingdom when we place our hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, not just any kind of faith, very specific kind of faith. Faith that Jesus is Lord, that He can and only He can save, and that His death on the cross paid the price for our sin. There's very specific things that we cannot do without if we are to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at this parable. Most of you are familiar with it. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell upon the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seeds fell by the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The other seed fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seeds fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And Jesus said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So, a fairly familiar passage of Scripture. We have the sower, and we're going to get all the explanations later. But we got this person who is sowing seed. And some of it falls in the rock, in the roadway, where it won't do any good whatsoever. Some of it falls by the rocky soil, which again doesn't accomplish anything. Some of it is thrown among the thorns, where it's choked out, and finally, some of it's thrown into good soil, and it produces 100-fold in return for the effort of the sower. And then Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And that's a very important statement for us, that we would recognize that, hey, there are things that we need to know about God. There are just certain things that can get blown out of proportion, can get twisted, can be added to or subtracted from in the Word of God. We see that all the time in society and into our world. But we are to be people who are diligent to listen to what God is saying and not twist what God's saying, not add something to what we think God should be saying, and not taking away things that are unfriendly to our culture, any of those types of things that you might consider about the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word. It is true. God has given us everything that He wants us to have and wants us to know, and He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us interpret that for those who will believe. So we have all these things that go together. And so it is our task as believers to carefully study the Word of God, to understand what God is actually saying to the church, and then to go out and perform whatever function God has for us as a part of the church. So that's very carefully we should listen to this. So verse 9, His disciples began questioning Jesus as to what the parable might be. And Jesus said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." So, this is a difficult saying, actually, you know, because you can't, if you was to twist this, I can easily say this means that God doesn't want you to understand, or some people understand, and you don't even have a right to understand it. But that's not what He's saying at all. I hope I can clarify that a little bit, but not much, but I try to do a little bit. Last week we saw these educated leaders, the Pharisees that Jesus went and ate with, they were just plain unwilling to listen to what God was saying and to see what God really intended by His message. And if you want to know what that was all about, you'll have to go back and listen to it on the internet, because I'm not going to tell you the whole thing again, because some of you guys don't want to hear it again. So, but the parables are kind of like that as well. They are kind of a two-edged sword. They're to bring enlightenment. That's what they're there for. God truly wants us to understand Him, wants us to know the direction that He would take us. And for those who are really wanting to seek God and really want to know who God is, and don't want to structure a God after their own design so that He'll do what you want Him to do, but they want to really know, what's God like and what does God want from me? These parables will help instruct us in those areas. But the problem is, if if we don't really want to know, we want to devise our own God, we want to find our own way to what we think should be acceptable for the afterlife, if there is an afterlife, and all those different concepts, then really, these parables, you're not going to understand. Because this is God trying to show us what God is saying, not what you would like God to be saying. And what the parables do is, they do instruct you, but if you do not have a heart after God, then all they're going to do is build further condemnation and wrath for your case. So you're heaping the punishment of God upon yourself because you really don't want to hear God. You want to create God. Okay? So the church should be encouraged by this. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It really is an encouragement to us to know that God does want us to know. God does wish us to understand. He doesn't want an ignorant people. He doesn't want us to be blind in our faith. He wants us to understand where we're going. And so He has provided in His Word instruction and illumination at every turn so that the people of God will be able to see His glory. Okay, so let's do His explanation. Verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. So quite simply, God has provided direction. Whenever you think that God is one of those kind of gods like man creates quite often, that it doesn't want men to know and wants to kind of keep them in the dark and things like that, with secret handshakes and any kind of things like that, that is not the God that is the one true God. God wants us to know. We, because of sin, quite frequently don't really want to know what God has to say. You know, we just don't want to know because we don't want to have those that the barrier of not being able to do what I feel like I want to do. But God has given us the word very clearly. And so we have a responsibility of what we're going to do with that word. Verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from the heart so that they may not believe and be saved. This is kind of the easiest one of the four parts of this parable, because there's some debate about the meanings of these various ones, but I don't think it's as difficult as a lot of people like to make it. So very clearly, there are people just plain don't care about God. I don't give a rip about God. I don't care what he says. I don't care what those crazy fanatics called Christians say. I don't care what the Bible says. It's just another book. And so wouldn't do him any good to hear it. Don't do him any good to read it, because they just don't, they're not going to believe it anyway. They think it's Cat in the Hat. Just, we're going to read it, enjoy it, move on. Okay? So that's the first group. Second group. There are those that in the rocky soil are those who hear, receive the word with joy, those who have no firm root and believe for a while, in the time of temptation fall away. Have any of you ever heard something that you thought, that's really cool? Glad to hear that. I've been looking for that kind of an understanding about something. And that's this kind of group of people. They're just kind of looking around and they hear some of the things that Jesus says and they go, wow, that's pretty cool. And there are, he says some really cool things that a lot of those in my day, they were hippies, and I could have slid that way, but I didn't quite. But, you know, they're going, oh, wow, love, and there's all peace and contentment and all this kind of stuff. But they don't want to hear everything. They just want to hear that kind of stuff, the feel-good stuff, the emotions. And whenever times get a little bit rough, they just slide right back into their own patterns and do their own things and don't really care to understand the full meaning of what God has spoken to man. Verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. So this one's a little bit more difficult, and I've had people that I've had to have long discussions with, but hopefully you'll understand at least where I come from, but and hopefully that will be helpful to you. But so there are those that hear the word of God, and that not only is it just cool, they understand that, look, there seems to be some benefit to what this Bible has to say. I'm going to see if I can't try to follow these instructions and figure out what's going on. And so they go around and they do godly things and they do religious things and they live their lives in that. And then things start kind of taking a sideward step. You know, I had a child die. Now that's a horrible thing. I didn't have a child die, but I mean, this is a story. You know, it's a horrible thing to have a child die. You know, so is there a God? And we, or some young couple gets killed in a car accident. Somebody gets some devastating disease. How do you understand those things? How do those apply with God? You know, I'm trying to follow these good things, go to church, be a good church member, give my money, and I just can't get my bills paid. No, it just always seems like something's breaking down, things aren't happening. So I covered as many explanations as I can. But they get choked out by looking at the things of the world. They look at all the other stuff. Well, look at this guy. He's a horrible person, and he's filthy rich. That just doesn't seem fair. Isn't God supposed to bless his people? And that's part of the problem there. So that's what this group is here. And it says here that the seed fell among the thorns, and they heard, and they go their way. They're choked with the riches and the pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. And that's the key to this verse, is that statement there. And that can be misunderstood. But the fact of the matter is that fruit is not any good unless it's mature. It's of no value whatsoever. You can't, if fruit is not mature, the seeds aren't going to germinate if you want to regrow that plant. It's not going to taste and do what you want it to do if it's not mature. So there's nothing valuable until that fruit reaches maturity. So there's no gain. There's no benefit. You know, I can't take the greenest tomato out of my garden when it's just starting to form and I pluck it. And I'm going to go to Don and say, Don, I want you to give me $100 for this tomato. And Don's going to say, you're a nut. I'm not going to give you anything for that stupid green tomato. That's more like a tennis ball or something. I don't need that at all. You know, that's the kind of concept that you should get here. And this is where we have a lot of problem. People get stuck on this group of people. And what you need to know is that starting out is not the critical step. The critical step is finishing strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at what the Spirit says to the seven churches in Revelation, at the end of each one of the statements that the Spirit makes to that church, you get this: to him who overcomes. It's not about starting out. It's not about being religious. It's about persevering to the end. About trusting God no matter what the circumstances are. Trust God when things are going good. Trust God when things are going bad. Trust God when it looks like there's no end in sight. Trust God when they're calling you a blasphemer. But the churches are granted real blessings in Revelation if they overcome. If you overcome, we're going to grant to eat of the tree of life. That's eternal life. If you overcome, you won't be hurt by the second death. That's the judgment. If you overcome, I'm going to give you hidden food. If you overcome, I'm going to give you authority. If you overcome, I'm going to confess your name before the Father. If you overcome, I will write upon you the name of my God. If you overcome, I'm going to grant you to sit down with me. Those are wonderful promises, aren't they? Those promises all say, if you overcome. It's not about starting, it's about finishing. So this group of people start well, look good, act religious, but they don't finish. Verse 15. The seed in the good soil, those are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Those who have heard the word of God with an honest and good heart. Now, the only definition that you can get of that is that they are sincerely seeking God. I want to know what God has to say about this subject. And they hold it fast. There are things in the scriptures I really don't like that much because they really tell me stuff about myself I don't really like. I would prefer to just cut those pages out. But I should hold fast to them. When God says that I should not covet Nathan's stuff, you know, I need to learn how not to covet his stuff. He's a lot better mechanic than I am. That irritates me. And you musicians out there don't like you guys either, you know. But we have to learn to let God show us what's going on and how to live our life and those things. And that comes from sincerely saying, okay, I really do want to know what God has to say, even if I don't like it. I'm going to hold fast then. When he says, this is the path you're supposed to take, I'm going to hold fast to that. Now, some of you have been coming here a long time, Lori and Glenda, 40 years of this stuff, and I was deathly afraid of speaking in public. I don't like to speak in public. Never did like to speak in public. Wasn't very good at it either, Lori. Just be quiet for a while. But, I mean, God said, I want you to go this direction. And I said, no, I think you're wrong. But apparently he wasn't. But there's things that God's asking you to do that are not comfortable. that you don't want to do. You may not like to do it. But the only way you're going to know that is if you're going to approach every situation with an honest and a good heart and hold God's word fast. And if you do that, you're going to bear fruit with perseverance. It means there's going to be some result. Something's going to happen that furthers the kingdom of God. That's the definition of saving faith. Not these other things. It's not enough to hear and be excited about it. It's not enough to hear and do some religious things. It's enough to hear and want to keep hearing and want to hold fast to what God has to say. Want to do what He's telling you to do all the way and never end. All right? Verse 16. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. So again, God is not wanting to hide His plan from man. And part of His plan is for us not to hide God's plan from man. You know, when we see people who are contrary to God, we have to learn how to be loving, but we also have to learn how to say, that's not what I understand the Scriptures to say. To stand up to those type of things. The church is to be extremely diligent to broadcast the message of God from His Word in all of its truth. Verse 17. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. That's a pretty uncomfortable verse. Because the evidence is there, and God is going to use that evidence. That's all there is to it. There's a lot of things in my life I don't want you guys to know about, or my history, or things like that. And I'm not going to tell you. Sorry. But God knows, and it will be revealed. That's all there is to it. And if you think that you're fooling everybody with some kind of religious pretense, but you really are wanting to do your own thing and everything else, it's going to show up. We may never know it, none of us. But when you stand before God and He says, you said to me, Lord, Lord, but I never knew you, that's going to be a horrible thing to hear. And it's going to happen. There's going to be people who hid in the church and did good things for people to see. And God's going to say, you never did a thing I asked you to do. You just did the things you thought people would see. It's not going to remain hidden. It's not going to be a secret. Verse 18. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And this is the warning to the church today. This is the whole part of the message of why we're joined together today is this, that you need to take care on how you're living. God is giving man a chance for eternal life. And He is calling you to avail yourself to that opportunity. And you have to choose these two choices. There are going to be some who choose to trust Jesus Christ, and you will have something then. You will be a part of the family of God. And more is going to be given to you, because when I finally perish, I have a place to go where God has prepared a place for me in His glory. That's a promise of God. But He also has this other promise to another group of people. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away. Those from the first three groups of soils that we talked about in that parable, those people who have been thinking, I don't need God, or I'm hiding from God, He won't be able to see me, I can do my own thing and be religious. Those three groups think they have something, but what they have will not stand the test. Even that will be taken away, and they will fall into that second category. So just like last week, when what we talked about, we still come to this point where we have to make a choice, and there's only really two choices. We need to come to the choice of knowing I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior, and I have to trust Him as both Lord and Savior. And if we do that, the choice leads to eternal life. Or maybe you fall into the other category where you think, okay, I don't believe that stuff. Or you might fall in the category of, I'm a good enough person. I can outweigh the odds and I'll make it to heaven. God should accept me as I am, allow me to continue to live my life in peace. Any of those kind of concepts like that, that choice leads to eternal damnation. No doubt. There's only two ways. You either trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you stay on that pathway to eternal damnation. There is no other option. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this chance to get together and to study from your word, and I do thank you for this parable and the direction that we gain from it. I pray, Father, that we would not just dismiss those doubts that we had in our mind as we were reading through this, but that we would truly contemplate where we're at, how we stand with the Almighty God. Help us, Father, allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts. Give assurance where assurance is due. Give warning to those that have yet to trust in you. Thank you for this time together, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.